This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation. Foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation of Hearts Grant is brought to you by Alive, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, and Wendy's.
The Foundation.
It's rocking the nation. Howard Grant's the host, Guardian Radio Station 96.9. 12 to 2 is the time. You can call the show or use the text line. Yeah, he educates, he informs. He goes against the norm. He's really got that zeal. Plus, he's a child of God.
Foundation. It's the foundation. Foundation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation, on this glorious Thursday afternoon. So happy to be in your company. I hope that you're chilling today, having a good time. I'm hoping that for many of us, we can't ingest this relentless information that's being thrown at us. Or is it just me? Is it just me? It's too much. It's big wild. It's crazy. But we're out here in the land of the living. I'm really grateful to be here. We always kind of pause on a Thursday. I think we got to do that. I mean, don't fight me for it. I think we got to do that. I think for the lives that existed before, so many of us are, you know, we run up and down and just with the busyness of life and consume ourselves and don't understand the time, or we don't take the time, or even understand the necessity to take the time to just take in our environment, to love a little, to share some more, to engage, to be present. And I don't think a lot of us have done that. And whether you do it or you don't do it, you know, your time's going to come. And for a lot of our brothers and sisters here in this space, in this country that we call the Bahamas, that we call home, a lot of them has passed away. We take a time to sort of identify them on Thursdays in the newspapers, in the local dailies here. Make sure you pick up your Guardian newspaper. But even with doing that, as I touch the paper, talk to me. As I touch it, I'm always kind of, cognizant of the fact. I do that, and I also do that when I watch Channel 40, you know, with my grandmother. But I'm always kind of cognizant of the fact of the of our mortality and how it will definitely come to an end in due time and due season. And so with that, when that comes, it's always important that you have the right people on your team to be able to do that transition. In 8 Mile Rock, we knew Russell and Pinder, everybody would talk about those particular things. But that's what I grew up on. We forged fantastic relationships, and I recognize that there is something significant here in this country. That persons who can be able to carry on a legacy, a black family, who can be able to do such a wonderful job and being able to identify the life that was, whoever this person is laying before them, and treat it with a level of respect. Make sure you call out, reach out to my good friends down there at Butler's Funeral Homes and Crematorium. They are, like I said, I believe in this. I think that they represent the preservation and tradition of a craft that people identify through monetary value now. Let's just shoot straight. People see you as a number. They see you as an opportunity to be able to make some money. As finances, stuffing into the bank account, but there was a life here. Make sure you check our persons who can be able to preserve that. We normally have this kind of a conversation. You know, it's Small Business Thursday, ladies and gentlemen. And it's always important that we identify those persons that remain committed to being able to do that. I thank all the sponsors that continue to be able to sponsor the show. I had two people set up. I can't even be indecent. Listen to me. I won't be decent. I know he's listening. I won't be decent. He said, Howard, a week ago, set me up. I won't come. I got to do this. Booking me. Said, oh, his office calls. Oh, then he called me this morning. Says, oh, my God, Howard, I didn't recognize. So we're going to be able to save that slot for him. But we have my guys, Chris Davis, John Canoe II. He changed his name. He's my guy. He's going to be here in the studio with us, being able to talk to us about what's going on with Ghana and what they're going to be doing moving forward. So I'm waiting on him to be able to get in here. So before we do that, I just wanted to kind of take the liberty. You got to give me liberty sometimes. I want to take the liberty at the forefront of this thing to have a good conversation with you about this concept and fear that the elitists may carry quietly in their bosom about the retention of gentrification. Oh, my God, Howard, you just get deep too quick, too fast. Let's do it. Let's do the thing. We're here. We're live. We're living. When we're dead, we will be no more. So let's talk about this and talk about preservation, growth, and development for our spaces. There are a group or class of people, whilst we don't necessarily speak of segregation anymore, whilst we don't necessarily speak to the separation anymore, we recognize that the proverbial line in the sand has been drawn with greenbacks. Might talk to me. The line in the sand that separates the haves and the have-nots has been drawn with greenbacks. And what's a greenbacks? Money. Dead press. That line has been emboldened significantly to the point where we recognize it, but we don't say anything about it. We anticipate our desire locally, us over here, grassroots people. We anticipate a desire to participate in what we perceive to be glitz and glamour on the other side when we get some money. So we want to celebrate on the other side when we get some money. But the truth is that we go about our normal routine business on a day-to-day business here in the country, here in our spaces. We can see that there is a shift and a fear for degentrification when there's an introduction or a possibility that an element that continue to be able to feed and provide opportunities for average working class Bahamian seeks to tip over that line that's been drawn. Atos Holding has, from 1987, opened up a Wendy's in Grand Bahama. They are my sponsors. So I just wanted to be very decent when I actually do this. Nobody tell me do this. I just wanted to kind of put this out there. Atos Holding has remained committed all the way from Grand Bahama and then expanding their brand over the years. 2005, they did some wonderful things. Check them out. Atos Holding history. You can be able to read up on all this stuff here in the country. They've been here for a long time. They have brought some brands. They've brought consistency. They have brought what many have failed to bring in this kind of a franchise space, which is consistency. It's very important that you have quality food and consistency over the years. Right? You know, over the years, you're indifferent about how they shifted this and, you know, why they did that. But for sure, there has been consistency in being able to provide a hot meal at an affordable price with satisfaction. We read in the newspaper yesterday, in the Tribune newspaper, it spoke more specifically to this separation that existed. PI Group seeks to ban Wendy's and Marco's. Now, this is the Tribune, right? But, you know, since we're dealing with these things, let's deal with it. Atlantis had joined forces with other resorts and developers in the bid to bar Wendy's and Marco's Pizza owner from converting Paradise Island's former Scotiabank branch into the fast food restaurant destination. The Tribune Business can reveal that the mega resort has teamed with fellow Paradise Island hotels, the Ocean Club, Comfort Suites, plus Hurricane Hold's developer, in an appeal that seeks to overturn the preliminary change of use permission granted to Atos Holding, the franchise holder, from both brands by Town Hall Planning Committee. All parties were yesterday said to be waiting with bated breath for the Subdivision and Development Appeal Board to render its verdict, with Atlantis warning that permitting the former bank location to be converted into a fast food restaurant will create, and it goes on to A5. It goes on to the business section. Let's see if I can pick it up. Where were we? It says again, a warning that permitting the former bank location to be converted into fast food chains will create a potential obstacle for planning luxury resort and residential development. That is a lot of words. And it's all structured in the shadow of political correctness and social decorum. But essentially, it's saying one of two things. In light of what we know to be gentrification, in identifying slums and creating this pristine concept and idea with pumping funds into it, I don't know, let's say Hog Island, into a world-class resort, that is gentrification. You have stripped the culture of this particular environment and infused something different to shift through an environment entirely. That is gentrification. And in the midst of this gentrification that happens, we continue to adore it. We love it. People from all over the world continue to be able to talk about its beauty, what it's done. The government of the Bahamas in the 90s gave them great opportunities to do a wonder. I mean, wonders. Absolute wonders. They've done a good job. And being able to retain this position and identified opportunities for those persons. The second largest employer in the Bahamas, Atlantis. Paradise Island, known globally. Now, just like Howard Grant, at a restaurant called Palate Pleasers, my little restaurant. Listen, everything I do in the restaurant, I write down. Because, you know, I'm a big guy. It's a big fella, and I got big eye. I got great aspirations and desire to be able to franchise the thing. So I document everything, all my food, all my this, all my that, the structure, the posture, how I made this, because I got plans, baby. I got plans. Atos Holdings had plans in 1987. Went out, identified the franchise, was given an opportunity, came here, and remained consistent in what they did. With a brand that's identified globally, now they seek to put it in a space. And the first thing we hear, a potential obstacle for planned luxury resort and residential development. Degentrification. You're bringing ghetto things over here. That's what they say. And talk to me. Are we talking straight? You want to ghettofy the place. Let us band together the porcelain white crew with the desire to retain this particular thing and ensure that we can get top dollar for all that we have over here. And ensure that there's others don't come. I don't know. You saw the English accent. It felt like colonialism to me. Let's be very clear. This is the second time in the space of almost 2, maybe 3 weeks that we've seen, maybe over a month, that we've seen Atlantis take significant liberty in a space that is enriched with democracy, relentlessly speaking of what our responsibilities are, and how we seek to move forward. This is incorrect. And what's bigger than that is yesterday, before we actually went out, I wanted to kind of read something to you. And I thought this was crazy. I want to be able to read this to you. Now, there's the article there. You can be able to pick it up. It is from Atlantis and PI Bar Wendy's. So that is from yesterday's newspaper, Wednesday, May 17th. You can be able to pick that up and see exactly what's what. And also there's an article in here. Let me see when this is. Yeah, this is May 17th, right? But I wanted to take it back, and I want you to be able to see something. There's something even deeper for me I want to read something. It says press release details. This is from Shake Shack. Shake Shack. Shake Shackin' is Bahamas bound. In October 26, 2022, is information. New York's beloved burger stand plans Bahamas market entry in 2023. It says, Shack Burgers, Beachside, welcome to paradise. Shake Shack Incorporated, Shake Shack, or the company, is heading to the Caribbean with plans to open at Atlantis Paradise Island in the Bahamas in 2023. Shake Shack, whose mission is to stand for something good, as their registered position, intends to collaborate with local Bahamian purveyors and producers to create a truly unique Shack experience for its guests and locals in the Bahamas. In addition to Shake Shack's signature menu item, the Shack will feature a full-service bar at Atlantis Paradise Island exclusives. See, what privilege is really construed? I don't know if it does that. Let's do this. What privilege does is erode the idea of opportunity that exists outside of their position or its position. Privilege rejects, fights against, and will be able to ensure that their position is the only position that's retained, that remains, and they seek to invite who they desire. This is privilege now. Privilege opens the door to who they desire. This is privilege. Privilege identifies itself as the purveyor and the gatekeeper of favor. So if you seek favor and an opportunity to step into a space that's internationally recognized to expand your brand for your stakeholders and provide what is viewed as consistent, delicious meals and affordable, let's just be very clear, affordable. Privilege says, hell no. This is a privileged environment. We've done enough as it relates to segregation and gentrification to ensure that we can put a number on this thing. What you're going to do, because if you read the article, there is a fear that there are going to be long lines, that there are going to be all these things that's happening around. Let's be very clear about this. I carry no water for anyone. Let's be very clear. When I see issues like this, and the only thing is that these are two conglomerates. This is an established company who has a desire to be able to move forward and make some things happen. They have the finances and the wherewithal to make this happen. But what about you and I, who has been crafting a narrative and an idea to expand and penny pinching, putting some things aside to one day hopefully get something in the airport, hopefully get something over Atlantis, hopefully get something in a space that you can be able to have persons even walk into it. We've watched this stuff enough on YouTube, man. There's this young guy, Walker, I think his name is Kev, I can't remember his name is. He tastes your food and a million people come eat your food right away. But sometimes he don't know where you is if you were in the back of Soldier Road. We seek favor. Privilege should not hold that. Privilege should not separate us from the opportunities that exist for us globally. All this is an opportunity for us to be able to expand. And that's all I want to say. That's all I want to say. Uniting like Power Rangers or Team Umizoomi against an entity that provides consistency in what they do is wrong. To me, to retain a privileged position, to retain this gentrification, to retain this kind of an idea of segregation, there cannot be a fair. And if, I'm going to be absolutely honest with you. If you have designed such an environment, these people who seek an experience will not gravitate towards that. They still go into wherever you got set up. What needs to be fortified is your customer service and the experiences in the spaces that you have. There should be no fear. Whether it's McDonald's, whether it's Wendy's, whether it's Marco's Pizza, whether it's Palate Pleasers, there should be no fear, because the consistency based upon the finances that you have to create the experiences that mind blows, that includes the aesthetic appeal. You got the money to do that. Why fight the small man? This is bananas. Won't put the thing on the table. We can't be in 2023 having a conversation about black and white. We can't be in 2023 having a conversation, because it's no longer black and white. It's a conversation about haves and have not. And black and brown fit into both categories. But we should not be segregated if we're doing all we can to be able to step up for an opportunity. And I will go back to the one saying that my grandmother reminds me of. Today for me, tomorrow for you. Stop. We as a collective, as Bahamians, need to stop looking at these things and say, well, that ain't me. That's rich people problems, man. That ain't got nothing to do with me. Hey, if you ain't got no aspirations, stay out of the conversations. Howard could talk about it, because I can do this one day, baby. And I don't want nobody rowing. What about Howard don't bring pilot pieces over here? Howard, you know, the rent is $15,000 a month, $20,000, $35,000. I can pay that. Because we can make that by the weekend. Or maybe on the weekend. And the opportunities for me to be able to expand globally exist in these spaces. Let's get it done. So I say that, y'all put down your guns, man. Develop your customer service, fortify those particular things, create a unforgettable, undeniable experience, and people will come to you. If you build it, they will come. If you have nothing to offer, bland food, well, why the hell not? You might as well go to Wendy's, baby. Is that what you fear? Well, fear not, and fortify your thing. Leave Atos alone. Leave Wendy's alone. Let the people do their thing. Let me take this commercial break, guys, and be right back after this.
Foundation.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company, live and in full effect. So good to be in your company. I'm still waiting on my guy. He hasn't texted me back. He said, Howard, I'm going to be there. So hopefully we can be able to get him on the 1 o'clock hour and be able to dive into that conversation with Chris Davies, John Connor II, being able to talk about exactly what they're doing as it relates to this, this merger. And relationships that's being forged with Ghana. Let's be very clear about these things. I want to do a little visit, and I'm kind of check it out. Now he invited me to go over with him some time ago, but I never. I got too much turn right now. I gotta make sure they're young children. I can't just jump up and go. Guys, please give me a call if you want to be a part of the conversation at the very top of the show. I know this is Small Business Thursday, so I want to be able to just do this. At the top of the show. That's a telephone call. Is that a telephone call? Caller, you on the line with us live. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller. Okay, no. No. All right. Give me a call. 323-6232. 325-4316-325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720, or hit me up on the text 422-4796. This is just wild what's happening in the Bahamas. I might as well tell you the truth. I mean, I ain't got a people business. I ain't a people business. Or maybe I am. I don't know. I don't know how you view this, but this is just crazy to me. This is Howard. Atlantis was opposing Albany, Bahama, the Hilton, the Cruise Port, RCI. Do they think they own the country? Huh? Why are they scared of competition? They are pathetic. This is information. This is a text. This is a great show as usual, Howard. Me and you was never in the plan when it came to PI. And actually, they only want us. They only want us work over in PI. Boy, I tell you, the system is set up in a way that the house always wins. Well, that's only in the casino. This is Howard. Atlanta's already told the government not to allow y'all black people to gamble in the casino. Now, they don't want y'all to buy a number two over in PI. This is incredible. I just don't understand the sort of liberty. And I don't believe it's their fault. I don't think that they have taken the liberty to step over lines that existed. I don't think any conglomerate, any business in this country has sought significantly to step over a pronounced line of business and morality in this country. I don't think any of them, I don't care which business you call that has done something socially untowards, they did not step over an emboldened line that's been drawn in the sand as to the borders of what our expectations are for their business in the country. They haven't stepped over that line. You know why? Because the lines don't exist for them. The government came in and cut the red tape, cut the lines, cut everything, and gave them a proverbial track road to expedience. And what is that track road? The track road is to be able to create a space of social turbulence, and we will expedite your desires swiftly. That's what the government did. The government of the Bahamas created that. It didn't work for Compass Point because it just didn't work. He kept pushing the envelope. It didn't work for him. Not the way that he expected it to. But I seem still open. I'm going to be shutting down if y'all don't do this now. No. When we make a pronouncement about Atlantis, it is followed by the second largest employer in the Bahamas. Every time you say that. Oh my God, Atlantis is absolutely gorgeous, isn't it? You can go over there and see the dolphins. Yes, I'm going over to Atlantis, the second largest employer in the Bahamas, this weekend. You need to stop it. This is what we do. We attach an ever-expanding bandwagon to the preamble of a name, as though it's only here in the Bahamas. They expanded so much, their brand has become so significant throughout the world right here in Paradise Island, that they're in Dubai now. My God, I can't even get no amen. Caller on the line with us live, go ahead.
Hey, good day, how you doing, Howard?
Hey, good man, what's happening?
Oh, right here, man, right here. Listen, Howard, you know, a lot of, not only are ready for, they even show that they union busted, because they have done it in the past and could do it anytime they please, is to lay off as many people, if not all, and get new people from day one, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, and my question, I have 2 points, but my question is how they could even bring in somebody else. Like, say, if they were bringing Starbucks, but they already have and all that stuff, I'm sure they still have to put in some kind of permit from the government. But that should go through the government first.
Did I read
and
this?
And then go to them. You understand? Like, so I don't see where they have any kind of right.
There's a couple of things happening here simultaneously.
Mm.
The first thing that is happening is that the commercial enterprise bill supersedes a great deal of these things. That persons that are coming in, if they come in for these particular things, so essentially, Atlantis don't have to do that. These people can take on a position and do that themselves. However, when you read this information, let's read it. Let me see if I can open it up again. When you read this information about what Shake Shack said, see, yeah, Shake Shack said, it says, New York business says Shake Shack Burgers is B-side. Welcome to Paradise Island. Shake Shack, or the company, is heading to the Caribbean with plans to open at Atlantis Paradise Island in the Bahamas in 2023. Watch me. It's a Shake Shack whose mission is to stand for something good, intends to collaborate. Oh, Jesus, that's a strong word. Collaborate with local Bahamian purveyors and producers to create a truly unique, that means that there is significant investment.
Right.
That means Shake Shack ain't 100% Shake Shack.
Right.
Now, remember how business works in this country. If you have these particular businesses that are coming into this space, essentially, it has to be a significant percentage that has an anchor here. So it got to be Bahamians having a piece of this action. And this may be where Atlantis them come in this particular instance.
Okay. I can make another point.
Go ahead.
Okay. Now, I noticed when it comes to Singapore, China, all these big conglomerates, well, which the Bahamas is, when it comes to tourism, supposed to be on that same tier level as all the other players in the business. We've been around here, if not just as long, longer than, you understand? Like, it's one of the best, if not the best, tourist destination in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And now, but we're still negotiating on a, you know, it seems like we only could row and be biggity with one another, or you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, but when it comes to negotiating with big players, all we want to know is where the briefcase is and how I could get me and my size. But one of us right now, like you saying, you want to put one in there 2 hours, or you know, you're gonna have me as simple as trying to put something on the dock where the cool ship is. And if you don't know, a lot of politicians and their family already have those positions. So even when you present the ideas to them, they'll be like, oh, yeah, no problem, man. We can call you. Just come see me next month, whatever. That then going down the line to whoever doing it. You understand it? So we already negotiating from a weak standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And not only is that, they don't have no fear for I can guarantee you, me or you had a business in China or wherever, and you think you could put something on the sidewalk, you'll see them coming there, yuck down your holes, whatever, and you gone. You understand? Like, that's it.
I can
because
tell you
that. We negotiate from a weak standpoint. And then, you know what, not even the negotiators for us, you know, it's us in the back. Like, we'll allow anything, you know, like, because like you say, it ain't our problem. That's Wendy's thing, and no problem. But what if it's Bamboo Shack? Or whatever.
Somebody text now. I don't read that. I read that right now. Somebody text now. But
good show, man, Howard. I wanted to elaborate some more, but I gotta let you. You're doing a good job, man.
I appreciate you, my brother. Thank you so very kindly. Let me read this little text. It says, good afternoon. I have to disagree. If we are pushing fast food, that's fine. Let's see if Bamboo Shack or something of that ilk can be encouraged to step up. Wendy's and Marco's are just one more step to negating anything that Bahamian and this weird foreign homogeny that we are culturally flirting with. It says a different topic, but Carnival is the same thing. It says, I giggle every time someone says the fete for this 1 week and not all of the rest of the year. It's embarrassing. Now, you know, I can give you one analogy. There were some absolutely gorgeous girls, in my view, that I kind of grew up with at school. And, you know, the guys will always have conversations about, you know, just kind of just chatting about what our expectations were for the girls. Oh, boy, I know she can be like a bank manager. Boy, I know. This is how we spoke when we were younger. Boy, I know, like, because now we're thinking about the future and trying to figure out what we're going to do. So we identify who's going to be what. Maybe she's going to be in the lab somewhere. Maybe this one's going to be a banker. She always biggity, so she like to talk. So we ascribe what we believe qualities people possess. We ascribe to them a particular position socially. And we say, we know you can do this. But the truth is that they have to know this. The truth is that it doesn't matter what we know personally. We perceive, we assume, we try to project. But you have to believe within yourself and take those particular steps. This was laid out from last year. When you read the story and start to be able to talk about this, it says that Atlantis has joined forces with other resources that the Tribune can reveal that the mega resorts has teamed up with fellow Paradise Island hotels and all these particular things. It says that they seek to overturn the parliament, the preliminary change of use permission granted by Atos Holdings and the franchise holder for both brands by the town planning. Town planning did this from last year. So when it was placed on the table, you saw the transition for Scotiabank over there. The space was open. If Bamboo Shack wanted to go over there, they could have made that significant step. Bamboo Shack knows where they want to go because I believe that they deal with demographic, strategic demographic. They've done something a little different for a newer demographic right across the street from Sandoz. We've seen that. We're Bamboo Shack Grill. And you know, they don't sponsor my show. I ain't getting nobody business. Hey, Bamboo Shack, give me a call. 827-0111. Let's be very clear with that. Be decent. Amen. However, I believe that they're creating a space to be able to deal with a unique demographic. What I would equate the grill portion, which is across the street from on West Bay Street, the grill aspect is similar to when I was, whenever I go to Freeport, to Miami. My family and I always like to go to Pollo Tropical. And Pollo Tropical is also in Grand Bahama. And so you got the grill and you got the this and you got the that, which gives you options and gives you familiarity. Wendy's is universal. You could put that in the back of China. They know, oh, Wendy's, they know that. It doesn't matter. The brand is global. So we can encourage people to make these particular moves, but you have to know within yourself. This is what you like to do. Let me take this call and then I can go to a commercial break. Caller, you on the phone. Go ahead. You on the phone, caller?
Bless up, Howard.
Hey, what's up, my brother?
I thought you thank you for stepping out. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
You know, Howard, I don't eat Wendy's, right? But mm-hmm. I can appreciate, I mean, some people just want it now and then. But, you know, I don't eat the fast food. But I was looking at it from a different standpoint as far as, like, an experiment that went on with mice, like, about during the 50s in which they were confined to a space and then they induced rations. And then you watch the psychological events, post-rations, to see the deviance in the mice behavior. They stopped breeding. They became more belligerent towards one another. They became very antisocial. And so the human would be naive to believe that any experiment done in the lab wasn't meant for humans. And so the Jim Crow-ish concept is to let them stay over the hill and kill up one another, right? And so thanks for the new word, ghetto-fi, right? Yeah, and so this is what it is. And so there are hidden racial agendas that we don't want to accept, and we are all in self-denial because there are certain Jim Crow-ish, some subliminal messages being sent to the populace at large. You know, we see the gentrification, right, Howard?
Mm-hmm.
But we know what it's all about. So we are all in self-denial because we believe that, and firstly, Howard, this is a revelation time, okay? All right, in case you didn't know, use the Bible mind.
Mm-hmm.
This is a revealing time. This is an unraveling time.
You can see that every single day. There's something
in deep meditation last night through the King, right?
That's heavy.
And it said that, you know, I always try to figure out God in a way or the biblical text. And it's just as it was in the beginning, it should be in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not caught up in the middle about this fiddle or this riddle. But what I realize is, right, that it also means for the earth, not just for us. So just as it was in the beginning, it should be in the end. So the earth will claim itself. So all of these water rising and coming places, the water was there before. So it's not only a message for the human. But I mean, it's also a message for the earth. Just as the earth was in the beginning, it shall be in the end. And the earth will reveal certain things. You won't see the ice melting in the north, and they have new shipping routes, et cetera, et cetera. So what I'm saying is, the climate is changing. Me and you are changing. I'm almost 60 hours. What I'm saying is, we have to wake up and see and smell the roses of the Jim Crow era is returning. There's no way about it. You see financial apartheid. You see oppression, suppression. And so it's all done for a reason. You see, Howard, if I'm speaking hypothetically here because I don't want to implicate anything.
I know, but
if I'm a millionaire, right, Howard, or a trillionaire, right?
Yeah.
And I come to you to get a license for a gun. You think you could charge me the normal fee, or you could charge me extra? You could say, but you can speed this up or whatever. So corruption is universal. But what I'm saying is, you realize the small man catches all the hell?
Everything. All the taxes.
Level, straight up.
All the
because
hell.
Because that's the way it's designed to do.
His
hair isn't comb. He's just a dirty nigga walking down the street. The nigga did nothing wrong, but now his life is gone.
Mm-hmm. life.
You don't care about me. You know, this is what it is. Why can't we just wake up and smell the roses? That was, I don't know if that was Stop who called, but the caller who called before you said we are good at fighting amongst ourselves. The guy who got, he is totally correct.
Yeah.
And so we have seen that. I don't know if it's a self-hating gene within us. Because, you know, a sister was online speaking. She's a nail salon tech up in North Carolina. And she was saying the contempt she gets from the sisters, them, the black sisters, them. Mm-hmm. I think they don't get it when they deal with the Korean people, them. So this is something, even the people owner see these particular things. So I don't know what it is about us. You see what I'm saying? But contention, and you know, like if you have a densely populated area, obviously you'll have more contention, you'll have more encounters.
Yeah.
This one almost an accident with this one body with this one mind, this one teeth, this one foot, whatever it be. You understand what I'm saying? Our contention is always at the bottom. So this is what it's designed to do. All of this concept about getting vaccinated, the economy will open up and you would make money. Listen, they didn't have this thing all planned out for those who haven't read COVID-19 and the Great Reset. I'm satisfied with being heard, you know, Howard. I don't need them to follow nothing what I say, you know. He who feels it, knows it, and he don't listen, will feel. Give thanks.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate your telephone call. Guys, you know, we got to get out of here. I just want to kind of do this just to the caller's point. Let me take this quick commercial break and get back to these things. But just to the caller's point, I want to be able to read something in the newspaper. It says tax collectors wreaking havoc. It says former prime minister blasts hostile actions by government to collect taxes. Former prime minister Dr. Hubert Minnis claimed in the House of Assembly yesterday that the tax collectors are wreaking havoc in the Bahamas and Bahamians are suffering. My God, suffering under a government obsessed with getting the people's money. This is absolutely bananas. Is this the pot kettle thing? I don't know what's going on here. This is wild. Let me get back. We can have John Canoe II in the studio with us. You know what we got to do? Take a commercial break and get to news. We'll be right back with the Foundation on 96.9 FM radio right after this.
Foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation.
The sixth edition of the Bahamas Games are on the way. July 7th through the 15th. Get ready for inter-island sporting competition in the spirit of unity and camaraderie. Which island is gonna win? It's the Bahamas Games. Our nation, our talent, our games. And look out for the B-Games crew coming to your island soon. For more information, call 809-1242 or visit thebahamasgames.org.
Guardian Radio and the Foundation are on the move.
Bahamas, this one's for you.
SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Every Thursday, the Foundation with Howard Grant will highlight small businesses throughout the country, far and wide. Your products, services, prices, and personality. We want to hear it all. Get your 30 or 60 second advertisement heard on air at a fraction of the cost. We here at the Foundation understand the times and don't want you to be left behind. With Guardian Radio, you reach your specific demographic and it is unmatched.
We reach thousands daily.
Get your products off the shelf and your services in their hearts. Small Business Thursdays with the Foundation, only on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. For more information, call 302-2300 or the Help Me Howard line at 827-0111. SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Get your business moving today.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Nassau, Bahamas.
Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. 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 The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, this beautiful Thursday afternoon. Thank you so very kindly for tuning in with us. You know, it's Small Business Thursday, so we always want to give you some business aspect, hence the the initial sort of approach to being able to talk about business locally here in our country and being able to utilize or identify a specific example that continues to be able to separate us from some of the dreams and aspirations that we have, more specifically. Well, you've heard this person on my show before here. He's been on every one of my platforms. He's a very good friend of mine. He know I kind of make fun of him. I say, boy, I don't know if you got me back. What happened, right? But he's here live and in full effect, being able to talk about some stuff that has happened over in Ghana and what he wants to be able to bring here in the country and be able to make some things happen. Now, most recently, we've been able to see that there was a relationship being forged between Ghana and almost being able to return back home in one space or another. This is sort of the idea that's going on in that area. But I want to talk about, from an economic standpoint, the opportunities that exist, economic empowerment, if there was an opportunity for us to kind of move back and move into these particular spaces, what could it mean for us? Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you again to none other than Chris Davis or John Canoe II. My brother, so happy to see you in the studio with us. Go ahead.
Yes, always happy to be here, my brother, you know, and let's get to it.
Thank you so very much. And I know if we're talking, Ms. John Canoe, we're talking, let's be very, very clear.
I may say one or two.
Well, introduce yourself to the Bahamian people. Let them know who you is. Because you're sitting here looking pretty. Talk to me.
Angelique McKay, the John Canoe goddess, and Queen Mother Safa Chiriba of Porkasu and the Ahanta people of Western Ghana.
Okay, hold on. I got to write all these things down. Queen Mother. So we could call you Queen Mother.
Yes.
Queen Mother. Mm-hmm. Queen Mother. Queen Mother John Canoe. Do we do this, right? Yeah. This is a beautiful thing that we're here. And I want to talk like this. I think that you know, we as, despite our demographics, despite our most recently we've been able to see from the census that is about nearly 400,000 people here in the country, there is a sort of social pushback and identifying the percentage of numbers that are indigenous Bahamians, the percentage of numbers that say that we are born and bred Bahamians living here. I don't know why that conversation even exists. Yep. If it's on the census, it's us. It's us. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, we're just under 400,000. And given the fact that we're under 400,000, there is this sort of a disenchantment locally about the opportunities that exist for us. The idea that we could possibly be able to actually own something and find ourselves moving in a particular direction. As a result of that, there has been sort of a push regionally, locally, globally, to find out if there is a space for me to be able to live this dream that I envision for myself and my family. Most recently, you've gone over the past 2-3 years, you've been going back and forth, you've written your book, Black Rinse. Guys, make sure you pick up a copy. You've done all these things, and now you're here talking about an opportunity that can be able to lead us back. And I say back, we can get into the back to Ghana. Talk to me about it.
Yes, my brother. Well, I've been affiliated with the Ghana Investment Representatives, a very, very strong consortium of professionals of, you know, from Ghana, some from Ghana living outside of Ghana, who came down and, of course, to continue to forge and build on a relationship that has been lost for over 3,000 years here in the Bahamas. Right. And first of all, I'd like to also say that, you know, one thing that I see as an historian and even in our modern history, the generation before us, you know, our parents, our grandparents who came out of independence in that first, say, 20, 25 years or so, they were able to accomplish some semblance to make a parallel of the quote unquote proverbial Bahamian dream, right? They were able to buy property, own house, enough of us living in the house that our parents own and all of these things. And through inflation, through American imperialism, through all of these different isms and schisms that we have suffered from in the Ma'afa for years, it has now left the next generations, at least speaking to the Bahamas, almost utterly disenfranchised. And then the problem, a big problem I actually have is there's this word, the E word that they like to apply to the younger generation, which is entitlement, right? Mm-hmm. And you should feel entitled to something if you're a part of a society, part of a community, especially if you see the generation before you able to own a house.
Wasn't that the entire concept of dehumanization, entitlement?
Right, exactly.
That was the core of it, what it was about. Right. Entitlement, yeah, you were entitled to the state.
Right, exactly.
But they never ascribed it to law. They only talk about it in theory, relentlessly, right, and expecting us to move in this direction. Anyway, I digress. Go ahead.
So now, that being said, we have been doing business with all of the wrong people, in my humble opinion, for a very long time. And we need to start doing business with each other. And when I say with each other, we're talking about the African diaspora. One of the people who are here with the contingency, the head of the contingency, actually, I call him Uncle Yofi, but his name is Yofi Grant.
It's Grant?
He's a Grant.
He's a decent man.
Right. Right? So he's actually from the Fante region. So you actually find some people with the British names coming from those regions. You know, colonization, the whole nine. We don't need to dwell on that. Now, this man, though, since I've met him and spent a few days with him, I've had the privilege of learning so much. One of the things I learned from him was that not less than 60% of all arable land in the world exists in Africa right now. Mm-hmm. So we talk in economics. It's so many different aspects, right? So where we import most of our food, pretty much all. And for some reason, the fish that we catch in our own ocean still costs more than the steak imported from the U.S., but that's a whole different thing, right? But what we don't realize is the opportunity that is in Africa waiting for us. And that is actually what we have always been entitled to. You don't need no government to tell you that.
I want to touch this with you,
right?
Because I know you're on a path, but you know, every time I hear about this kind of a return home, mm-hmm, I equate it to something very local, and there is a immigration conversation that we have here,
right?
About two, let's say, Haitian migrants that mm-hmm come here, have a baby, they identify the baby as a migrant baby, mm-hmm, immigration swoops in, they're not, they don't have their stuff, and they say, y'all go back home. The baby never been there.
Right.
Yeah. The baby don't know nothing but Haiti.
Yep.
But there's an idea that you can go back to this space,
mm-hmm,
but there is a quiet fear that you'll be rejected because you're not from this space.
Right.
There is that fear that exists also, because that's been conversations over the years.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
About if you ever go back to Africa, these people will beat the hell out of you because you ain't come from there. You ain't nothing but Africa.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me about that experience, and tell me about whether or not that just some things that people say to you, mm-hmm, to give you this kind of a fear down your spine in comparison to what you see, feel, and then really be able to engage on the ground in Africa.
Well, I'll just speak to the experience of myself and my lovely wife. Another mouthful coming your way, Nano. Asafa Hema and Kosahini of Pokasu, Tamara Scavella Davis, my lovely wife. And our first experience there, and of course, Queen Mother Angelique right on the side of me and myself, we are a living testament of that, the falseness of that statement. You know, I've been there. I've been going to Ghana for about 2 years.
And they embrace you.
And not only they embrace me, they bestowed the mightiest of mightiest honors on me. You know, and not just me. They waiting for all Bahamians to return home. I think that is just a part of the negative propaganda and stigma that exists with Africa and, of course, the entire African diaspora, right? And what people do is highlight singular incidences of misfortunes and stuff like that. It may have happened to one or two that repatriated. There's actually one specifically to a Bahamian that repatriated to Ghana decades ago.
Am I black enough? Let's just be very clear.
Oh, yeah. Well,
just let me know.
One of our other partners, Dr. Michael Pateman, one of our partners in our NGO, Sankofa.
It was an entire joke, sir. I know I am black.
Oh, yeah, you more.
Once I open my mouth, they can say, oh, this is a Negro.
Well, but that is a genuine concern. You know,
yeah,
people feel that if a mixed heritage, and it's not like that at all. One of the problems, actually, we have to realize what we are, who we are. We are de-Africanized Africans. You follow me? So you have to go there with a certain mindset. And this is why, in my opinion, for the majority of those cases where you see people go to Africa and it's not done well and they feel like the Africans don't like them, many of them go there with the same economic model, the same capitalist mindset, the same westernized mindset. They go there and say stupid things like, oh, well, where are all the lions? And, you know, and it's very demeaning. And so, right, you get it. That's like someone coming to the Bahamas and be like, oh, I told you. Yeah, exactly. You get it.
But I was a front office agent for years. They say, oh, so can you speak your native language?
Right.
So I say, well, I know you want me to say.
Right.
You speak it loud. No. I mean, like, say something behemoth. Yeah, man. I say, don't let the t-shirts fool you. We're here speaking the Queen's English.
You get it, right. And many of us go over there from a place of utter ignorance. And utter ignorance, of course, that is not.
So the people who live in huts, this is me just being able to emulate.
Oh, of course.
The sort of a Caucasian mindset that actually, because this is a suburban mindset that has been sort of insulated in their environment. And when they have a chance to travel, because they hear all of them.
Right.
When they have a chance to travel, whatever been said about our country, because the first thing they ask me, so do you guys live in huts?
Yeah, right. Said, oh, yeah. I've gotten that too.
I'm too big for huts.
Right.
We live in brick houses. You need to stop, right?
Right. Most of those people come from countries whose building code is not as strict as ours, right? And that's the irony of it, including the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Tornado Alley.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Who houses is go with two wind.
Yeah.
Right? Right. And they come here and they're looking for huts.
Right.
No. It's not like that.
Yeah,
so I want to talk to you about this because I think people are very interested in it. I think the atmosphere is charged. There are significant sort of murmurs. Kids are coming out of school. My son's coming out of school. We're sitting down with him trying to figure out the next step, but not just the next step, because I have to now take an assessment. My wife and I are having real, real conversations about this.
Right.
Real. Talking about whether or not we see ourselves in this country in 5-10 years.
Right.
Whether or not this country can be able to give to us, based upon our current position, what we envision, desire, how much of ourselves should we give back to this country and receive nothing. Do you think we should look to be able to plan ourselves someplace else? These are the kind of conversation, because our children getting big, they're getting older.
Right. Now, you know, that's a good question, but essentially, what are we? We are colonized Africans living in the West. You know, the old analogy I like to use with the pig and the dog. If two dogs have a baby in a pig pen, are they piglets or are they puppies? They are still puppies.
Mm-hmm.
Don't care how much it squeak. Don't care how much it enjoy rolling around in the mud. And so for any Bahamian of full, partial, or any there on the spectrum of African descent who wishes to return back to Africa, they are, in fact, returning home. And you can't ever deny anybody from returning home. However, the Africa is also where the African diaspora is. You understand? And so, of course, we don't accept it, but the Bahamas, whether everyone accepted it or not, is Africa. We 91% minimum African, so we are Africa. Jamaica, and people ain't like this one, Haiti, is also Africa. And this is what we share. Now, for me, from a, let's say, Afro-futuristic perspective, and this even what Garvey was preaching over 100 years ago, everybody don't need to go back to Africa. As a matter of fact, on the emblem of the house of John Canoe, the second, the main part of that emblem is a symbol representing the Siamese crocodile, which speaks to unity and diversity. You see? And so there's no one solution for everybody. The solution is different for everybody. So you may have those who go to Ghana and say, yeah, I got to come here and I have to live. You know, I'm tired of being in a Western society, ultra-capitalist society, where my ideas are not being heard, you know. In Ghana, and even just the market size, the population size, as you said in the beginning, you know, we just under 400,000 people, just above at best. And that's the size of one town. One township in Ghana. Yeah, 32.
How much the population? 46 million? How much?
I think it's somewhere, actually, I think it's somewhere around between 32 and 35 million in Ghana. The city of Accra is about 5 million.
Now, watch this. I won't touch this. You know, I like talking like this. Mm-hmm. At the top of the show, we started to talk about gentrification, the separation between. No one pronounces segregation no more. No one say Negro no more. No one.
Oh, yeah.
So economically, there is this sort of a separation that exists. So they speak with the greenbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is there a fear? Because you started to talk about this idea of ultra-capitalistic concept.
Right.
That has been conditioned into many of us, my brother.
Most definitely.
To shoot straight. Mm-hmm. Into a great deal of us.
Oh, yeah.
If we decide now to go to Ghana, right? with the mindset, though the population may be concentrate, these ideas are rich.
Right.
The environment that we currently live in the Bahamas, in the Western world, doesn't afford black and brown to expand on the knowledge that we have.
Right.
But going in Ghana, that may possibly give us opportunities. Is there a fear of gentrification?
Well, you know, every country and money is like this. You know, we have this thing called money, the universal legal tender. And if you don't have that, life can be very difficult. However, for those coming from a place like the Bahamas and going there, and there are several examples of people who have had major success in Africa, right? There's also the program, and the director of this program is actually here. Her name is Annabelle McKenzie. She ain't a Bahamian. She's an American, but she had the Bahamian name, if you will. She spearheads what was known as the Year of Return and what is now known as Beyond the Return.
Mm-hmm.
And she has spoken about many different acts and laws. And the Ghanaian government is welcoming the African diaspora home as the gateway to Africa. They even telling you, man, you even got to settle in Ghana. You could go somewhere else in Africa. We just the gateway. You understand? And even speaking to, just to give a small example, what I spoke about just now, going over with the wrong mindset. Many people feel that we in the West going over to like save Africans, and they don't even realize that, in my opinion, it's actually more so the other way around. That's number one. And number two, it is completely mutually beneficial. So speaking to the 60% arable land that I mentioned at the beginning, think about it. We import most of our food. We are also one of the countries with the highest rate of non-communicable diseases, right? And much of that is based on our imports and where those imports come from, right? Now we have Ghana. Some of our staple foods, tomato, right? Everyone cooking with tomato and onion. These things falling on the ground and rotting because it's just a massive surplus. There is production everywhere. What was amazing to me in Ghana, somewhere around 95% home manufactured and produced, they consume it. And you always complain about that little 5%.
It wants to be
100%. Right, the same amount that we complain about. Understand what I'm saying, right? And then we have all these non-communicable diseases. If we get an organic food from our brothers and sisters in Africa, at a better cost, you know, there have been very fruitful discussions and opening this door even wider. You know, removing of visas. These were some of the things that were discussed in the summit.
I want to touch up with you.
Right.
I want to touch up with you before we go and expound upon what has been touched in the summit. I want to touch this sort of an idea. The first thing that popped up in my mind is the ease of doing business and the ease of accessibility and being able to conform or to become a part, amalgamate to this environment.
Right.
Locally, we've seen the Commercial Enterprise Bill a few years back create a space to be able to expand on Anglophilia. But
where you get that word, man?
You threw it on the table the other day. I had to pull it back. I didn't deal with it. You understand what I'm saying? I commandeered your words.
Hey,
okay, watch
you
me.
You could do that all day. You straight. You could do that all day.
Watch me, right? The Commercial Enterprise Bill has kind of created a space to be able to expand on this idea of Anglophilia and always being able to create an opportunity for those from an economic standpoint to come in and really be able to sink their teeth into an economy that we locally don't have a part of. So I need to know from you, has Ghana, through legislation, through these particular concepts and ideas to be able to bring people home, have they created some expedient process to ensure that persons could be able to come in without hiccups and so forth and so on? Talk to me about it.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. They are leading the way in that. Barbados, St. Vincent, they all them done beat us to the punch, as a matter of fact. They've removed visas. And they're also talking about direct flights to the Caribbean. There was one from Jamaica to Accra at one point, and then it kind of went away. But with the Bahamas and our location, of course, you know, and being this kind of gateway, not just to the Caribbean, but even to the Americas, if you could argue, right? We are very, very well placed for that. And as I said, people are welcome. They have passed laws where you can get citizenship in Ghana. Anybody, even other people who are not a part of the diaspora, and they are now moving towards making it easier specifically to those in the diaspora to gain citizenship. when you could connect yourself. So say you Howard Crown and I say, oh, well, boy, Howard A. Tracy, you might be from this area. When you come there and you tell them, well, I was told that my roots are from here and I come from America. We don't get how profound that is. It is something that is almost miraculous. I don't even think we understand that. And this is what makes business in itself much easier, because you have what you call that intrinsic value. So I was a Kid Island man. And when any of my brothers call me from Kid Island and they want help with something or anything like that, I do what anything that I could do to stay in the right direction, get in contact with this person. You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because I have that connection. I have that connection.
You see,
there.
I like how you speak. You speak, you carry this relentless, perpetual idea of optimism with you, right? You expect there to be able to engage positivity in this environment. But I grew up with Negroes all my life, my brother. Don't mind my light skin.
Yeah.
This is enriched Negro experience.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
They don't want nothing to do with you. Who you think you is?
Mm-hmm.
What y'all coming around here for? We ain't got no property for y'all.
Right.
I only say this and I kind of break it down to this kind of a rudimentary conversation simply because this is a fear.
Yeah.
Of non-acceptance. There's a fear of non-acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk like that. Let me take this commercial break. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Small Business Thursdays right here on The Foundation with Howard Grant, 96.9 FM radio. In the studio, John Canoe II, Queen Mother. She's in here also with us. We're talking like this. Guys, if you want to be a part of the conversation, please do so. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family Violence, 242-300-5720, or hit me up on the text, 422-4796. We're going to take this commercial break and be right back after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
We'll be back right after this.
There's nothing like the one and only Whopper at Burger King Nassau. That quarter pound of savory flame-grilled beef made your way with juicy tomatoes, fresh lettuce, crunchy pickles, and white onions on a soft sesame seed bun is burger bliss. Add piping hot thick-cut french fries and a Pepsi, and you have the ultimate classic combo that's sure to satisfy. Don't just get a burger, get the classic Whopper combo, available all day, every day, at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Tired of paying too many bills and loan payments each month?
Shrink your monthly debt payments down to one easy payment with our debt consolidation loan.
It also has a built-in savings that pays you 5% interest.
Inquire about our debt consolidation loans today.
Call 356-7764.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, live and in full effect, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation, Small Business Thursday, being able to chop it down, having good conversation with John Canoe II. You know Miss Chris Davis here locally, but he's been able to expand his wings more significantly overseas and being able to do a great deal of things. And also we got Queen Mother in the house being able to do some stuff. You know her as the John Canoe Queen.
Goddess.
Goddess. Okay, praise God. The Junkanoo Goddess.
Rewind and come again,
right? Guys, we're here and we're live and we're full effect, and I wanted to talk about some things. I like this conversation. I really do. And I always like to get in people business because I have great desires to be able to expand beyond the small rock that I've been birthed on. I want to be able to go and I want to learn. I want to be able to see the world. And I want to be able to know and anticipate the steps that I have to take to get to sort of the comfort that I want. I want to know more about Ghana. We're talking Ghana today, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to get into the nitty-gritty, the meat and potatoes. Let's talk about import and export. The reason I want to talk about this, and Queen Mother, you started to talk about this idea about the experiences and whether or not you're going to be rejected when persons come there. So I know you want to give me that. But I want you to give me that story first, and then we can get into the import-export. Talk to me about it.
Well, as a matter of feeling rejected, people on this side of the world are still trying to spin a different story from what is reality. Persons are still trying to keep us divided. I was embraced from day one when I landed in Ghana, even more so when I moved into the area of Ahanta. Mm-hmm. So there was not one day when I did not even feel as if I was home. When I travel anywhere around the world, there's a set time clock that goes off in my head that says, okay, time to go back home to the Bahamas. That clock never went off whilst I was in Ghana. It never went off because I literally felt at home. And I would not have felt at home if I was not completely embraced by the people there.
You slept good?
Every night. Relax. They actually had to wake me up some days.
Decent.
You know, the foods are similar. Mm-hmm. The environment is similar because it's coastal.
Good seasoning, everything.
Yeah, but man. Oh.
They got pepper.
Everything
heavy pepper.
That we have here, you know, you would hear that we were stripped of everything.
Stew fish.
Went, oh, man. It, well, it's light soup. Light soup. I didn't have
any
grits.
I don't care what they call it. It's stew fish.
It's very much
like stew fish. Actually, stew fish is light soup if you think about it. Because it comes from Africa. We bring it over here.
So what about I see people eating the fufu. And I never taste the fufu yet. They do that meal. They do the Jaffa rice. What they do?
Jollof rice.
So that's just like how we prepare our peas and rice, crab and rice, conch and rice, whatever and rice. It's the same kind of seasoning and frying the herbs down and using the okra for different things, the tomato, the onion, everything. We brought everything with us when they stole us.
And if you like spicy food, because you know we have like this culture here, you know, the real man could take real pepper and
I'm a real man because that is it is going nice and decent, but later on when that got to come out, it's a dangerous situation.
But it's really beautiful. Like eating lunch with members of the delegation, I talk about one of them full bottle of goat pepper sauce, full bottle, them 6 ounce bottle gone. They finished the whole thing and was talking about how it wasn't hot. I put a little piece on the side and I was sweating. And this man eating that, like they eating guava sauce.
I don't sweat when I eat it, right? It's good when I eat. I sweat later.
Later.
I can't deal with this. It's too much. But I like to hear that, and I like to hear the similarities that exist in these areas. I want to be able to take my wife over to something like that. I mean, we've been doing the, we've been having conversations about this idea going on a Mediterranean trip, going throughout the Caribbean, going elsewhere. But there needs to be sort of an engagement. Things like this, about possibly being able to go back to the motherland. I think some of us been conditioned and displaced and, seeing ourselves outside of Africanism.
Right.
That we fear this kind of an idea going back, right? Because they figure, it ain't mine no more, right? Who am I? This young lady I met years ago living in Maroc. And I asked her, I said, so where are you born? You born here in the Bahamas? She says, no, right? She said, I'm Haitian. I said, oh, you born in Haiti? She says, no. I said, you weren't born in Haiti? You weren't born in the Bahamas? Where are you born? She said, I born on a boat coming here. I said, oh, my God.
Wow.
You might be a mermaid, right? I say that as a joke, but the truth is that we are the proverbial mermaids who don't feel as though, because this land isn't ours.
Exactly.
Let's just talk, man. This land isn't ours.
And because
the fear that going back to a land that is unfamiliar to us is one of the big things. So I like the Queen Mother when you say, hey, listen, I had my alarm didn't even work for me. They had to come wake me up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not one day did I feel like I was in a strange land.
Mm.
And the initial voyage that we took, they were like, it felt like the stolen children of the Ahanta region were returning home. Like, they would have had stories around the fire in the village square that, okay, Grammy such and such was stolen, or Uncle this one was stolen, but one day their children will come back home. And when we went, we felt that return.
Wow.
We felt that return. So it's everything has just come full circle.
Wow.
Mother Africa is calling her children home, and we're going back one by one.
Now, I want to talk like this because for all those persons who want to go, even when I start to think about the possibility of moving to Canada, America, to Europe, wherever the place is, I'm always thinking about what's really prominent and what's been, compressed in our minds over time. I think about survival. I think about how I'm going to live, how I'm going to take care of myself, how we're going to make money. Capitalism is going to be in a great deal of person's minds when they start to step over into this space. And so I want to hear more about import, export. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I need to know about what exists in this space. What can we send there from what we have here? And what can we take from there to bring here that may be, the supply and demand aspect of this particular thing? Talk to me about that.
If we were to go through all of the import-export potentials to and from between the Bahamas and Ghana, we'd probably be speaking until next week. But what I will do is kind of break it down from my perspective. So you have manufactured goods, completed goods, and the cost of living in Ghana relative to the Bahamas is actually very low. And so it's not like when you go to other places, particularly in the West. So say you go to Trinidad and you buy like a soda in Trinidad and you work it out, it kind of works out to the same or a little cheaper. You know, when you go to Ghana, that soda costs $1 or $2. You get it, right? Unless you get a name brand thing and it might cost $4, but it's still way more affordable.
Because it's locally produced.
Right. So from a manufacturing standpoint, but
That's how it was in Cuba also.
Right.
I was baffled with this idea in Cuba, I lived in Cuba for a whole year.
Okay.
And I couldn't understand what this embargo thing was all about. Cuba produced everything.
Everything, right.
Everything.
Yeah.
Right down to the people's cigarette they smoke. Smoking, everything.
Right. Yeah, right. So you see, and we have moved away from that. And it was a point where, because of survival, we had to produce certain things. And we hear it even in our folk tales when Ronnie Butler talking about how we used to talk about Jordan's line. They used to have to tie the fishing line on the tire to make, so that's a part of it now. But back to the import-export. So you go along the side of the road in Ghana. One of the things that people who visit the Bahamas, particularly coming from African countries and stuff, they always be like, well, where are the street vendors? Where are the artisans? Where are the merchants? Because their streets are littered with people producing high-quality goods. So let's talk about furniture. You drive down the road, you will see a yard with three fellas making furniture. When you look at that couch, these couch was selling in certain places over there for $1,200.
Yeah, but you can tell them that.
Right.
That's what y'all do to Cuba. Y'all need to stop it.
Right,
right.
No, but you go there and see, this is where the mindset has to be right, because these are our brothers that we doing business with. So you go there to empower. You understand? And in turn, you are empowered. Because if you go get that couch, which you could sell for $1,000 in the Bahamas, and you get that from Ghana to the Bahamas, you got to come on the trip to find out how much the couch costs. I ain't gonna tell you how much it costs over there, but when you bring it here, you're selling it for good money. And you would be in a position to empower your brothers and sisters. And not in an ultra-capitalist mindset, because it is not the root of capitalism is producing as much as you can with the bare minimum. The root of which is what? Slavery of our ancestors. That is the root of capitalism, by the way. That is the root of banking. That is the root of marketing, all of that stuff, right? So we have to understand these things. And, of course, we know the reality of the world that we live in. Like you say, how we can survive.
That's the first thing I
think. So I am a Pan-Africanist, but I'm a practical Pan-Africanist. I could tell you and I could speak, as you know, all day about our cultural connections and all that, but at the end of the day, how are you putting food in my son's stomach? What school would he can go to? Right. And
my children.
There are billionaires in Ghana. How much billionaires in the Bahamas?
I know none.
How much Bahamian billionaires are there in the world? None. We got billionaires here, but ain't none Bahamian, right?
I'm sure we got some Bahamian billionaires.
Right.
They got their money in the
Swiss. And that's just on a low level bringing stuff here. Now, the other way around, what people don't realize, Ghana has 32 million people. Just one aspect, again, one place we always fear. So why is it, and I don't mean the, I ain't trying to cast aspersion, and this man is actually a solid living legend, Bahamian hero of mine. And I grew up on this music, and it's greatly influenced me. We're talking about Phil Stubbs. Mm-hmm. As a man, I used to work with Mr. Trotman, another local musician, used to call him the Neil Diamond of the Bahamas, mm-hmm. right? How is it that this man still has to work a day job despite his consistent entertainment of the Bahamian people, keeping certain cultures alive that almost, you could almost argue would have died long ago if not for him? And the man got to still work mega jobs to get by. It shouldn't be that great. Now, you take a man like Phil Stubbs to Ghana, I can't even explain it, you know. One of the people here, he's actually from Grand Bahama, you might know him, Oswald White, goes as Ras Copper. Mm-hmm. You know, he came to Ghana with us on one of the trips. He did a music video, you know, and it was just great exposure for him, the love that he received, you know. They just have a different cultural outlook. And when you go to Ghana, exporting our culture to Ghana is what will help our artists, what will help our artisans, which will help our musicians, you see?
So the export could be culture.
Export could be culture. Wow. And it, see, it don't just even have to be that. Now, there's something that they are trying to do that we do very, very well. That is tourism. You understand?
Wow.
Training, cultural exchanges, student exchanges. They are even, just to jump the gun a little bit, you would even see them coming to help us out with our healthcare. I'm not the one privy to expose that too much, but we can have nurses exchanges going on. These things already in motion. We going to our sisters and our brothers to help alleviate our problems.
I like this. You know.
You understand what I'm saying?
One of the things, Howard, you could probably reiterate as time goes on for the remainder of the show, but questions that they would have for the ease of doing business, the Ghana Investment Promotion Center, they can add that on Facebook, right. Because the CEO is who is actually here. And the summit yesterday was to answer questions that the general population who is interested in investing in Ghana could come out and ask questions. So you can easily ask questions on that Facebook page. So that
was
you
it
could,
Ghana Investment Promotion?
Ghana Investment Promotion Center. Mm-hmm. And they would be expecting questions from the Bahamas at this point, mm-hmm. seeing that this was the first leg of their road tour throughout the Caribbean.
And you see with this opening up, right? So what were you speaking about? You were speaking about something that plagues us all. The mass disenfranchisement of black Bahamian people. Mm-hmm. Yes, the black ones. The white ones in is disenfranchises us. Let's just be honest. Okay? The mass disenfranchisement of black Bahamians. With the proper relationships that are being built, you could stay in your proverbial home right here and empower yourself with your brothers all the way across the pond, because that's where we come from too. And even though we didn't touch on it much, for those that did not know, this is where Junkanoo comes from. The first three ships that came here between 70 and 21, talking about the Bahama Galley, which brought John Quiles, Junkanoo's warriors, owned by Governor Fenney. 70 and 30, the one owned by Woods Rogers, called the Nassau, that brought 135, also from Western Ghana, same region. More hunters coming here, talking about Junkanoo beating goatskin drum and ringing cowbell. And then 26 years later, 1753, the little Billy came from a place called Anomabu in the heart of the Fante land, which is just east of the hunter land, right? The first three ships, our cultural foundation is Ghana. Junkanoo is Ghana. Hands down. Go look up Ankos, A-K-A-A-N-K. OS, I still playing pranks on school kids to this day. I take four pictures at the Ancos in the Kundum and ask them which one is the Bahamas and which one is Africa. And they say this one is Bahamas, this one is Nassau, or I look like Bayentine, look like Russian and Fox, all is Ghana. You see, so, and then when you have that, the doors are already open. You know, when you go in a business deal, you got to break the ice, and man, the ice has been more than broken. And even if you don't know the history, you could see it in the faces.
for years, I grew up in the 80s. I born in the 80s. And the early 90s has led to a sort of a socially charged conversation about the identity of who we are as Bahamians.
Right.
You remember this? Mm-hmm. Everybody in the early 90s, they started to say, well, what does it mean to be a Bahamian? They still carry this kind of foolishness out, right? I don't understand right. the stupidness, but anyway, people say it, right?
Yep.
So does it mean to be a Bahamian, right? As I listen to you, I recognize that we never answered the question because we never did the proper research.
Right.
And to your previous point, we normally start our history 20 years, 30 years, 40 years ago.
Yep.
Less than 100 years ago. We don't go to the core.
To the foundation.
To the foundation. Watch mm-hmm. me. I like what you did there. I like what you did there. Right.
Pun intended.
I appreciate this. So I want to kind of put that in there. I think I have a telephone call. Caller, you on the line with us live. Go ahead. That's the caller? No. I don't have a caller. So it says, I'm jonesing to taste the yam fufu. And igasi, is that how you say it? Igasu soup? Mm-hmm. Igasi soup? You say it looks good. But yes, they put goat pepper in it.
Yeah, like they tell y'all who think y'all could take pepper, go to Ghana. The first meal I had in Ghana, I thought they was playing a prank on me. I was like, there's no way that people enjoy food that is this spicy. But since I've been going to Ghana, I've been getting a little bit used to it. And even though I'm supposed to be the great general, John Canoe II, when it comes to eating that spicy soup, boy, my little brothers just be laughing at me over there.
So it says, Howard, great show as usual. Tell your guests they make crab and rice.
Yes, they do.
Like us.
Yep, they do.
Oh, I have a picture. They do boil crab.
Yep.
And this was at Nana Kwesi's coronation weekend, and when they brought the boiled crab out, I can't remember. It wasn't dough, but it was something else to dip in the crab. And I took a picture of it, and I was like, oh, I was floored. I was
Did
floored.
You eat
the
it?
Same land crab. I didn't have any. I didn't have any, but.
You eat this?
Well, I was a good island man. I didn't have a choice.
You eat the crab.
I eat plenty of crab in Ghana.
How my grand is not eating the crab? They're going to ask me whether or not I'm natural. Sir, I'm not eating you. I'm not going to eat you. We can eat the bread on the side. I ain't no crab. I must say that.
And they have another soup with the crab that's actually quite similar to crab and dough. And that's just, are you sure that's where crab and dough come
Oh my God,
from?
She take the actual picture of this.
You know,
like, you wasted my wife. You're my phone just to take pictures. Yeah.
I couldn't believe.
Right.
I couldn't believe it because it's as if every trip that we go, there are so many more similarities that come to
the fore.
It was
an overwhelming experience.
Just every time. Yeah.
My goodness. This is Howard Ahmad. You ain't tricking me with this one. I ain't going to Africa, no sir, right? This is who you're tricking me. I ain't trying to trick you. I'm just saying. We have a conversation.
Who said it?
This is a text saying, Howard, you ain't going to trick me with this one. I ain't going to Africa.
Okay, they can stick.
This is what it is.
Africa ain't for anybody. And with a person with attitude like that, we in the agenda anyway. So you can stay right there.
Okay, it says, not sure what to make of it, but I sense a hint of excitement from Howard when you start to talk about the food. It says soup. It says cuckoo soup all day. You need to stop.
Cuckoo soup.
I'm not eating no cuckoo soup.
I can let you know now.
I already had my fill. Sorry.
Cuckoo soup is actually not from Ghana, though. Cuckoo soup, in my theory, comes from Yorubaland. Yeah, in Nigeria, but I ain't gonna get into that right now, but the cuckoo soup stuff, but I got my theory, I can publish it in the book, hopefully in the near future.
This leads to the experience, man. Let's talk about, right. So it says, what about those poisonous snakes in Ghana? Ooh.
Oh, no, well, that's another thing. I have seen
I go to Texas for the same reason.
They have protected areas all over Ghana. Now, Australia is another story.
I'm not getting down there. Yeah.
But in Ghana, I have not seen a single snake.
Oh, I did. I did.
Yeah, I haven't seen a single snake.
When we were, this last time when I was in Princess Town, Peter took me riding out in the Sacred Lagoon.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this fluorescent neon green snake just going through the trees. And Peter was like, let's go close. I was like, no, that's all right. Don't go way out.
Yeah.
I was like, I can see him from here.
You're good with
it
that.
Was, like, I mean, a really bright green.
Right. But it's safe. So that place where she's talking about, that lagoon, is filled with crocodiles. And in a documented 700-year history in that region, they have not had one crocodile attack. I know why only a certain people of a certain hue get killed from animals, but hey, maybe. Let me stop.
You don't know too much. Let me read this thing here. It says, Howard, can your guest be contacted, please? Give me your numbers.
Yeah.
Let him know how you can get in contact.
Sankofa for Flamingo on all social media platforms, Sankofa. Flamingo. That is also the Gmail, sankofaflamingo@gmail.com. And there's a number you can reach us at 434-1135. That is co-founder, Brother Robin. I'm the talker. He is the walker. You know. And you also have 456-1787. That's another number. But the former number is the one that is more reachable.
Let me read this. I read this for you. It says, Howard, I'm extremely concerned about this narrative being pushed. There are descendants in my family from Britain, Ireland, and America. My family, who's mostly white, never talked about going back to our, quote, motherland. White people do not talk like this. Only black people talk like this.
Yeah.
As if black people are one giant monolith. And they are not...
They mean monolith. That's what they mean.
Right.
Yeah.
They are not... They probably say it right. They mm-hmm. are not individuals with their own identity. It's not true. And why would anyone go back to Ghana where their money isn't worth nothing? This is a text that's coming through.
Yeah, okay. So that is problematic.
Now, you know, I got 3 minutes before you because you didn't start.
Yeah. Well, let me start. Okay. Let me just get it straight. I can use my same analogy, right? The reason why, and I don't even need to get into all that. European people of European descent, quote unquote, white people, are the products of a history that their ancestors chose. So there is no need for that to happen. They have the same names. They have the Irish names. As a matter of fact, you go to a Greek restaurant right now, do they not have people from Greece, their cousin and thing from Greece working in that restaurant? So what is the problem? Why is it a problem for Africans to reconnect with their roots? That is why there is a concerted effort, because for 500 years, there was something called the transatlantic slave trade. Speaking closer to home, to the Bahamas, there were things like forced baptisms to Christianize and de-Africanize you. You know, I could make things real uncomfortable real quick for people with that level of ignorance, but I choose not to. And I just encourage them to read a little bit more on the topic. When you have a group of people that have been stripped of their heritage deliberately, and it continues to do so down to the image of God, you understand? And then you have the question, why are they trying to reconnect? And that narrative disturbs you. Now, secondly, if that person is in fact a person of African descent, if they Grammy or...
They say they white. They got... You see...
Oh, that's even worse. Well, that's straight up racist, man. I even got to say no more.
Okay, let's get to some other things.
That's straight up racist, man.
I would really like to travel to Ghana, and I have heard that Chris Lewis are traveling in the mid-October, and that's the same time as the Canton Show. This is the Canton Show is from October 15th for 3 weeks. I'm hoping that they could reconsider that travel time. This is the information. This is cuckoo soup. It's actually chicken soup in Kenya. This is heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He says, see Howard, see why I ain't going to watch the movie Anaconda. This is a text coming through. He says, repeat the numbers, please. And the numbers again is 434-1135. That's 434-1135. And you can check them out. Sankofa Flamingo on Facebook, and you can be able to hit them sankofaflamingo@gmail.com to be able to reach out and find out more information about travel dates, about opportunities, about excursions, about the sort of relationships that's being formed with Ghana Investment Promotion Center. Talk about those things, about the import, the export. You got to be able to come back.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Again, this is why we encourage people to come over, because we all have our minds, we have our talents, we have our passion. So once we see something that speaks to us from a business perspective, you know, so if you're a carpenter, you might see a technique that they use in building their roofs. And you might want to bring that back here. Princess Town have bamboo growing wild all over
the place. You got my imagination running wild.
Right, so it's like I say, the possibilities are just endless. My wife right now is becoming a local fashionista. You see the suit I'm wearing. All these things imported from Ghana.
Your wife did that?
Oh, yeah, she did.
All right, we can talk about this stuff next time. We can talk about this stuff next time. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you so much for being able to tune into Small Business Thursday right here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Had an absolutely wonderful conversation with you, talking about the opportunities that exist, talking about empowering ourselves beyond the sort of confines that are set up. Tomorrow we're going to have an even better show with you progressively every single day and be able to talk about where we are and where we're going. I want to thank my guests for being able to join me in the studio, none other than Queen Mother and John Kennedy II here on the foundation. We're going to take this we're going to see you tomorrow, God spare, and you're going to be able to stick and stay for Z Live with Shivago Lang. See you tomorrow, guys. Thank you so much.
Foundation.
Introducing Wendy's new chimichurri cheeseburger.
Chimichurri.
That's how you pronounce it. Let it roll off your tongue. Then get ready for some ridiculously good flavor. Fresh, herby, garlicky, green, chimichurri. It'll feel like a relaxing backyard get-together with friends on a Sunday.
But in a burger.
Come meet Wendy's new chimichurri cheeseburger with our new Dave's Craft Lemonade. Wendy's, different inside and out.
Ready to step into the future? From your front door to the backyard and everywhere in between. See and speak to whoever's there with Ring Video doorbells and security cameras now available at Alive. Protect what matters most, all from one easy app. Available in your Google or Apple Play Store. Visit bealive.com/ring to learn more. We are Alive.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.